And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon, serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and southern Massachusetts since 1939. This small business treats you like family, truly a business with heart, supporting local organizations like WJMJ, giving back to the community, and offering customers personalized one-on-one attention with the human touch. Call 800-242-0427 to discuss your propane needs or visit propanect.com for a live chat.
Good evening. Yes, tonight we meet in the Afterglow. Time set aside just for you and I to be together to relax and de-stress from the challenges of a busy workday. I'm Father John, and I'll do my best to make the short bit of time that we share worthwhile as we cool down as much as possible. It's Thursday, the 22nd day of July. Thank you for joining me. Now, the power of an optimistic mind can often heal the ailments of the body. It's well known that optimists live longer than pessimists. If you can accept that at your most fundamental level, you become someone with great energy, and that energy attracts like energy. Thus, you can begin to deliberately manifest good health. So, let's shake off some of the worries and the cares that have consumed your thoughts and robbed you of peace throughout the day. Put it all away as we turn the page, closing the day and welcoming the evening. Together, we'll think good and exuberating, refreshing, positive thoughts in the Afterglow. Afterglow. I'm Father John. This is WJMJ. Together we unwind, relax, get life to balance. Glad you're here, so we can set life straight with a bit of music and meditation to help engage the best of who we really are in the Afterglow. Now, we all remember that childhood nursery rhyme about Peter Piper, the one who picked a peck of pickled peppers, right? Well, today's the supposed anniversary of a different Piper, the legend of the Pied Piper of Hamelin. According to legend, the town of Hamelin, Germany, was infested with rats. The villagers made a bargain with the Pied Piper that if he was able to get rid of the rats with his piping, they would pay him a sum of gold. Despite successfully driving the rats into the river, he never received his money, and as revenge, he pied the villagers' children into a cave, never to be seen again. There are several versions of this tale, with some saying the children, like the rats, drowned in the river instead of going into the cave. Other variations say the children were returned once the piper received his payment. Coinciding with this holiday is Rat Catcher's Day, recognizing those who exterminate rats for a living. In the Middle Ages, rats carried diseases like the plague, which is why the town of Hamelin was so eager to enlist the Pied Piper and his services. So, today we remember the anniversary of one of the earliest rat catchers, the legend of the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Today also marks the death anniversary of a criminal who first earned the title Public Enemy Number One. It was John Dillinger, who was born in Indiana in 1903. He was unable to hold down a steady job, so he turned to a life of crime. Now, how often does that happen, huh? Anyway, Dillinger first robbed a grocery store for $50. He confessed to the crime and was given a 10-year jail sentence. While in prison, Dillinger began making contacts with more bank robbers and criminals. After being released from prison in the midst of the Great Depression, he began robbing a series of banks with his gang. The newly created Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, dubbed Dillinger public enemy number one as he went across the Midwest robbing banks and escaping from jails. After several months of running, the FBI finally had an informant who gave them information on the whereabouts of Dillinger. She went with him to see a movie, and after the movie ended, Dillinger figured out the police had surrounded the theater. He was able to escape into an alley, but three police officers shot him to death. John Dillinger's crime spree has been the subject of many books and films, and he is considered a notorious American legend. But it serves as a lesson that, in the end, crime doesn't pay. And it was all put to end on this day, back in 1934. That's 87 years ago.
Well, breaking the rocks in the hot sun, I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. Baby Anna, a good fun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. I left my baby Anna feel so bad. I guess my race is run. She's the best girl that I've ever had. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law.
You're in the Afterglow with me. I'm Father John Gatzak, and this is WJMJ. That was music by the Crickets called I Fought the Law. Always remember, crime doesn't pay. Now, let's take a look at life from various angles to see where and how we can be empowered with a few more tools to provide greater joy in living. So we journey now toward the intersection of where faith meets life. According to an ancient legend, there was a time when ordinary people had access to all the knowledge of the gods. Yet time and again, they ignored this wisdom. One day, the gods grew tired of so freely giving a gift the people didn't use, so they decided to hide their precious wisdom where only the most committed of seekers would discover it. They believed that if people had to work to find this wisdom, they would use it more carefully. One of the gods suggested that they bury it deep in the earth. No, no, the other said, too many people could easily dig down and find it. Let's put it in the deepest ocean, suggested one of the gods. But that idea was also rejected. They knew that people would one day learn to dive and thus would find it too easily. One of the gods suggested hiding it on the highest mountaintop. But that, too, was quickly agreed. People could climb mountains. Finally, one of the wisest gods suggested, let's hide it deep inside the people themselves. They'll never think to look in there. And so it came to be, and so it continues today. Intuition is not something relegated to certain people or to psychics. Everyone has it, and everyone has experienced it. Have you ever been thinking about your old friend Jerry and then the phone rings and it's Jerry on the line who was just thinking about you? Have you ever awakened in the middle of the night and knew something had happened to one of your children, only to find out later that it was the exact moment that your son was in an automobile accident? Have you ever felt a burning sensation on the back of your neck and then turned to see a man staring at you from across the room? Well, we've all experienced this kind of intuition. The trick is to learn how to tap into it at will in order to achieve greater levels of success. The regular practice of meditation will help you clear out distractions and teach you to recognize subtle impulses from within. Think of parents sitting on a bench on the edge of a playground filled with children laughing and yelling at each other. In the midst of all this noise, the parents can pick out their own child's voice from all the other voices on the playground. Your intuition works the same way. As you meditate and become more spiritually attuned, you can better discern and recognize the sound of the voice of God speaking to you through words, images, and sensations. Your intuition can communicate with you in many ways. You may get a message from within as a vision or a visual image while you are meditating or dreaming. I often get images while I am lying in bed after I first wake up, while I'm meditating, or while taking a shower. It can come in a flash out of the blue, or it can be a long unfolding image like a movie. Your intuition may speak to you as a hunch, a thought, or a voice, actually telling you yes, no, go for it, or not yet. It might come as one resounding word, a short sentence, or a complete lecture. You may find you can dialogue with the voice for clarification or more information. You may also receive a message from your intuition through your physical senses. If the message is one of watch out or be careful, you may experience it as a chill, the creeps, a sense of restlessness, discomfort in your gut, constriction in your chest, a tightness or pain in your head, even a sour taste in your mouth. A positive or yes message might come in the form of goosebumps, a dizzy feeling, warmth, a sense of opening or expansiveness in the chest, a sense of relaxation, a feeling of relief, or a letting go of tension. You may also experience intuitive messages through your emotions, such as a feeling of uneasiness, concern, or confusion. Or when information is of a positive nature, you may experience a feeling of joy, euphoria, or profound inner peace. Sometimes it is just a sense of knowing. How many times have you heard someone say, "I don't know how I knew, I just knew," or "I knew it in my heart," or "in the depth of my soul"? An indicator that the message is truly from your intuition is that it will often be accompanied by a sense of greater clarity, a feeling of rightness about the answer or the impulse. Another indicator that the message you are receiving is a correct one is an accompanying feeling of passion and excitement. If you are considering a plan of action or a decision and it leaves you feeling drained, bored, or unnerved, that's a clear message saying, don't go there. On the other hand, if you feel energized and enthusiastic, your intuition is telling you, go ahead. And that's where faith meets life.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind, like painted kites. Those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. And still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who sighs? The summer wind, the summer wind, warm summer wind, the summer wind.
Yes, of course, that was Frank Sinatra with a song called Summer Wind. And it's here in the Afterglow. And now, from the volumes of important, indispensable information that you just can't live without, today we remember a man who became famous for mixing up his words. William Archibald Spooner was born on this day in 1844. He was ordained a deacon in the Church of England in 1872 and made a priest in 1875 and worked at New College for more than 60 years, working his way up all the way to warden of the school. But his legacy is in his frequent slips of the tongue that led to its own term, Spoonerisms. His accidental transpositions gave us terms such as blushing crow for crushing blow, tons of soil for sons of toil, swell foop for fell swoop, and a well-boiled icicle for well-oiled bicycle. As you can imagine, Spooner wasn't thrilled for becoming known for these slips of the tongue, but in his later years, he came to accept it and took it in humor. A scholarly man, if at times absent-minded, tonight in the Afterglow, we remember William Spooner on his 177th birth anniversary. And today we are celebrating the birth anniversary of one of America's leading experts on etiquette.
Emily Post?
Close, but not quite. Amy Vanderbilt was born on this day in 1908 and became a household name for her best-selling book, Amy Vanderbilt's Complete Book of Etiquette, published in 1952. 2 years later, she hosted the TV program It's in Good Taste, which concluded in 1960. For 2 years after the end of Good Taste, she hosted the radio show The Right Thing to Do. In 1961, she published another book called Amy Vanderbilt's Complete Cookbook with illustrations by Andy Warhol. Amy Vanderbilt died on December 27, 1974, from multiple skull fractures after falling out of her second-floor window. Due to its popularity, her book of etiquette has been updated and continues to be circulated today and has become a standard of etiquette writing. So, here we are, remembering Amy Vanderbilt, an American expert of etiquette, born on this day in 1908.
Time it was I had a dream. You're the dream come true. And if I had the world to give, I'd give it all to you. I'll take you to the mountains. I will take you to the sea. I'll show you how this life became a miracle. Take my hand until that day. So when they ask how far love goes, when my job's done, you'll be the one who knows. I hardest one. I will watch you struggle on before the answers come. Your heart to trust, as I will teach my own. But sometimes I will ask the moon where it shined upon you last, and shake my head and laugh and say it all went by so fast. You'll fly away, but take my hand until that day. So when they ask how far love goes, when my job's done, you'll be the one who knows.
And that was Dar Williams with a song called The One Who Knows. And you'll be the one who knows the power of being in the afterglow right here each weekday evening on WJMJ, bridging the gap between day and night and setting the pace for a relaxing evening. Well, something we could all use, huh? A relaxing evening. In the afterglow, we look deep on the inside where the ticking goes on to appreciate the mechanism of love that holds the world in place. With a universe so vast and so complex that the human mind bows to the greatness of the Creator. So much love, so much success, so much for which to be grateful, and we share it all in the afterglow. Now, on the local scene, thank you for being with me this evening. You make this time that we share a true moment of peace and fulfillment. So now it's story time. Once upon a time, a son came to his father for advice. "Dad, I can't do this anymore," he said. "Those lessons only exhaust me, and the result doesn't change. It must be not destined for me to play football, and my dream will never come true." The father looked at his son with loving eyes and said, "You know, son, every person in life has a dream, a goal of his life. They are the ones that make us do what we are doing because it's what we should do. We have to fight for what we believe in, what we feel. If not, you will simply break once and for all. The easiest way is to quit everything and not go until the end because the path is difficult and we are not used to inconveniences. We want everything to be easy, everything to be at once. But the wishes are fleeting. This is how our dream dies, and the goal becomes unreachable. Gradually, life becomes a routine without depth and meaning. Then, one day, we try to forget and start everything from the beginning. We wait for a new day to make our life different. But new obstacles come in our way, and we stop again. We become full of despair and anger for our own helplessness. But you only need to remember one thing. Never give up. Fight. Fight the battle. It doesn't matter that you have lost one battle and even dozens of battles. Life goes on. Your biggest enemies are hiding in you. Laziness, fear, doubt, indecision. These are your enemies hiding in you. Be a warrior of your dream, a knight of your goal, and a soldier of your wishes. Something to think about.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on.
And so that was music called Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Well, we're in the Afterglow. I'm Father John, and we get together every weekday evening from 7 to 8 for some music, meditation, introspection, and inspiration, all in an effort to cool down. Thank you for your company this evening. And if you want to be in touch, we can connect via email at afterglow@wjmj.org. A suggestion, comment, complaint, sure, whatever's on your mind. Now, watch me get all these complaints, huh? It's human nature. Oh, how we love to complain. But we're not so eager to compliment. Quick to complain, slow to compliment, that's just human nature. But you've got my email address, and I'm always eager to hear from you. Whatever you've got to say, let me know. Afterglow@wjmj.org. Now, today's wisdom says that in heaven, there is one star for each one of us, sufficiently far so that our mistakes can never dim it. Now, turn on the light. You'll see better. How many times do I forgive someone who hurts me? 7 times? Well, the Jewish law stipulated that the wounded forgive 3 times. Peter is willing to double that and throw in one more for good measure. No doubt he thinks Jesus will be impressed. Jesus isn't. The Master's answer still stuns us. 7? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. Now, if you're pausing to multiply 70 times 7, you're missing the point. Keeping tabs on your mercy, Jesus is saying, is not being merciful. Night prayer is coming up. But first, we take time to allow God's Word to challenge us in today's Word. Today, the Church celebrates St. Mary Magdalene. Why are you weeping? Mary Magdalene was certainly a person who shed copious tears. In today's Gospel, John, in the space of 5 sentences, tells us 4 times about her tears when she came to the tomb of Jesus. Both the angels and Jesus himself asked her why she was weeping, and it was because she could not find her Lord. Bereavement is a time for weeping. The pain of the loss of the one we loved is sometimes almost unbearable. And even Jesus wept when confronted with the death of his friend, Lazarus. Today, psychologists have confirmed that weeping can be very therapeutic, a release of emotion which is necessary if we are to gather our strength and move on. It is now commonly accepted that if people do not grieve, do not allow themselves the time to cope with the traumas that surround the death of those who are close and dear to them, then the consequences can be serious. Indeed, it is likely that the burden will be lifted only when they do find time to mourn. When Jesus was on the road to Calvary, he stopped and spoke with the women of Jerusalem and suggested that they weep not for him, but for themselves and their children. Here Jesus was trying to prepare them for what was to come. Likewise, he eases Mary through her pain when at first she thinks he is the gardener and enables her to move on. She is to wipe her eyes and act as his messenger to the disciples. This noble ministry is growing in our communities today, the ministry of those who go out to the bereaved and share their sadness, who minister the love of Jesus to them in the pain of their loss, and ultimately help them to move on. May the Lord bless those who already share their gifts in this way and enrich us with more and more such generous people.
Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw There's peace.